Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are listening to a new episode. Well, here we are, late June, about a month and a half away from the start of school. We're all very excited to welcome our class of 2020 to grounds. Of course, we're moving through our last application deadline of the cycle, June 25th, and we're releasing decisions for that round in the next couple weeks. So always a very exciting time, particularly with the start of school so close. This is always an interesting time in the cycle because we are both meeting people who are thinking about applying to join our class of 2020. In other words, that class that is starting this August in just a few weeks. But we're also meeting people who are thinking about applying to join next year's class, our class of 2021, the class that starts August 2019. If you happen to find yourself in that latter category, great, but hold on for a second. Our application for our 2019 cycle is not yet available. For the executive formats, you likely have surmised that we have a different application than our full-time residential process. So if you're thinking about submitting an application to join our executive MBA class of 2021, it will be available in August. We will have new deadline information, new information about our 2019 cycle coming to the website in the next few weeks. So just be patient, hang in there. Thanks for doing your research and being early to the process. Hopefully you're enjoying the podcast as you seek to learn more about Darden. And of course, we're always here to help. If you have questions, we can be of assistance anyway. Let us know. Welcome to schedule a phone call, an in-person meeting, what we call an office hour, or just email us. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. So, on this episode of the podcast, we'd like to feature an interview I recently recorded with Charlotte Robertson. Charlotte, I should say, was an MBA format student in our class of 2018. She just graduated this past May, and she and I sat down right before graduation as she and her classmates were wrapping up the second leadership residency in our program to talk a little bit more about what led her to business school, how she decided to get an MBA, how she chose Darden, how her learning experiences have impacted the work that she does. In the interest of full disclosure, Charlotte has a very interesting job, and we'll talk a little bit more about it as you listen to this interview. But she is the manager for Las Vegas operations for Jose Andres, of course, a chef that we all know well, has been on 60 Minutes, very much a celebrity chef, and has a number of restaurants here in the Washington, D.C. area. So I think you'll enjoy this conversation, a very interesting one. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Charlotte Robertson. Charlotte, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Okay, so for our listeners at home, tell us a little bit more about your background.
So I'm in the hospitality industry. I've been in restaurants since the first time I was in school, which was UVA class of 1999. And currently I live in Las Vegas. I work for Jose Andres, and I am the director of restaurants at his restaurants in Las Vegas.
So one of the fascinating things recently is how Vegas has become such a restaurant destination, and having chefs like Jose Andres there certainly has a lot to do with that. I'm sure you're a lot busier these days, or extremely busy these days.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting experience. We definitely compete with some of the best chefs across the world. And that makes for a really interesting exercise in staying top of mind, staying relevant for the millions of visitors that come to the city every year. And it's really cool to be kind of part of this really great culture that's been built in Las Vegas over the last 10 years.
So how did you decide to go get an MBA? Work in the hospitality industry. As we were talking before we got started here, oftentimes students will think, gosh, I'm not from a traditional business background. How could I do an MBA? So how did you arrive at the decision that you needed an MBA?
It's actually kind of an interesting story. There's some scandal involved, you know, all the good parts of a good story. I'll try and tell it so it doesn't embarrass anyone. But I was living and working in Austin, Texas for a chef named Paul Key. I was a general manager at his restaurant named Key. And being the GM of a small restaurant like that, you kind of have your hands in all the pots. So I learned a lot about marketing. I learned a lot about finance, leadership, kind of all the different buckets. One thing that I didn't know very much about were the state of our finances. So I kept trying to learn more about it, but since it was such a small restaurant, it was difficult to kind of get a handle on it. And then we had a PR kind of scandal in the restaurant, and our chef, you know, was no longer part of the restaurant. So we, meaning the managers in the restaurant and myself, kind of needed to figure out how to keep the restaurant going, at least in the short time. And I learned a lot about how to manage or how not to manage a PR scandal. He ended up being arrested and was out in rehab for about a month while we were sort of trying to figure out what to do with the place. And I learned a lot about how volatile the restaurant industry is. And I really started thinking about whether or not it was the right industry for me. I had sort of like a life crisis, I guess you'd say. And I really wanted to see what else was out there. And I decided that I wanted to go back to school, but business was really interesting to me because I had started to learn little bits of how to run a complete business. And so I really wanted to see what else I could learn about it. And then everything sort of magically fell into place. I ended up going back to work for Jose, who I had worked for previously to living in Austin. And I never thought I wanted to move back to Las Vegas, but I was in DC to interview for the Darden program. And I thought, well, just stop by the offices, see what's available. You know, you never know. I've been planning on moving back to the DC area anyway. And one of my mentors, who's the HR director of Think Food Group, I ended up meeting with him, and he said, well, we have a director of restaurants position available. And I said, great. And then he said, it's in Las Vegas. And I said, oh, okay. But the more I learned about it, the more excited I got about it. And then I just started the two at the same time, the new job and the program. And I'm so grateful that I did.
So that sounds like a full plate, though, as you start, I mean, starting a new job and school. One of the things that folks ask us about all the time is, how do you manage all these things? And, you know, there are times when it's easier to do so and times when it's more complicated. How did you adjust to starting school and a new job at the same time?
I had moments of, like, absolute terror in the beginning. And I think probably most of my classmates would say the same. You just have to be really organized. I wrote out my life schedule, like, in hour-long buckets. I didn't follow it very, very well. But I think you have to really be okay kind of managing stress, because you're going to have a lot of it, and you have to learn how to move past it. For me, I just really carefully laid out my life so that I could make sure I had time for school and work. And I don't have a family, so the people in my class that had babies or have small children or have lots of children, I more power to them. I don't know how to handle it.
Yeah, you have a classmate with 11 children.
Yes, right? I have no idea how he handles it.
Yeah, so you know, you obviously are close to the end of the program. We're sitting recording this in April of 2018. It's hard to believe your class is almost done, which most people, when I've had this conversation with them, say it's a little bittersweet, right? Because mm-hmm. You're excited to finish, but you're also kind of sad to not have the opportunity to be in school anymore, at least with this group of people. How do you feel?
You know, I went into the program thinking that it was going to be all kind of quantitative. Like, I was going to learn how to, you know, be better at my taxes or be better at investing or really learn kind of like how to do things, you know? And what's become more and more apparent to me throughout the program is that the people are really much more important. Obviously, I think I've learned a lot, but at this point in time, you know, I think as we get older, we surround ourselves with people that have similar political views, similar social views, similar senses of humor. And I think that can be really limiting. And I'm so grateful to have friends now, and some very close friends, who are totally different from I am. And I feel grateful that I'm able to have this network of people that can look at problems from different angles. And I think I'm going to carry with that with me forever, or at least until we all end up in a nursing home, hopefully near each other. But I think coming out of the program, you know, I'll miss seeing everyone once a month. I'll even miss like cramming the reading for all the cases. But I think we all feel like in the future we want to be able to get together and not just have drinks together, but maybe get together and kind of talk about what's happening currently in the news or things like that, because I think that's really valuable. So coming out of the program, you know, I'm just grateful for the people part.
So starting a new job and going to school simultaneously, how do you feel like Darden shaped the work that you were doing?
Oh, that was the best part. We started the program with accounting and leadership, and I just started a new job. And so I think anytime you start a new job, you're dealing with the people and trying to figure out how to manage new people and manage teams. And the first two quarters we had communication class, we had a leadership class, and they helped me with some leadership problems that I was having. So much I was able to kind of figure out the problem and start addressing it. When we had marketing classes, I was able to apply it to real business problems. I used something that we did in one of our electives, our innovation and design thinking elective, to help solve a revenue problem in one of my restaurants. So I felt like it was directly correlative every single quarter, and that was so valuable.
So being at the end of the program and doing now the second leadership residency, which a lot of the content in it seems to be prospective, mm-hmm. right? Looking forward in your career, what are you excited about going forward?
First, I'm excited about having an entire weekend where I don't have to do anything. Most of my classmates have like planned it down to like what they're going to eat at what meal and how many naps they're going to take. But, you know, looking beyond that, I want to make sure that I don't lose the momentum. I've already signed up to start volunteering. I'm interested in eventually starting my own consulting firm. So starting to think about real-world problems and ways that I could help not just restaurants and in hospitality consulting, but also how do you solve like employee engagement or employee retention issues at a larger corporation, and starting to sort of formulate some like conference material or class material on those things. So moving forward, I definitely want to stick around with my company for a while. They're a great company, and sort of see where that takes me.
Yeah, we were talking before we got started. I find that I have these really interesting pre-podcast conversations with people. We were talking about Jose Andres being on 60 Minutes recently about some of the work that he's doing in Puerto Rico, and just seems like an amazing person.
Yeah, it's. I think it's rare that you can work for someone that's so inspirational to you in your, not just your daily life, but also in the way that what they do trickles throughout the organization in terms of culture. And I definitely feel lucky to have found that, especially in this day and age with the Me Too movement. I think that's really hit my industry very hard. And it makes sense. I mean, restaurants are volatile places. There's a kind of very old school male dominated industry. And I feel lucky, you know, my CEO is a woman. I would say over half of our top leaders are women. And Jose is the furthest from that that I could imagine. The company culture is one of family. It's one of mutual respect. It's one of innovation. So I think especially as a woman, I feel lucky to work for that company.
What is interesting to you about employee engagement and some of the topics you referenced earlier about potentially consulting on things like that? What is energizing to you about those topics?
That's one of my favorite parts of my job. I enjoy team building. There's something so special when you have a group of people that start to really trust each other and can then come up with great ideas and just move the business along without even, it's not even hard work at that point, you know? And I think that as time progresses, that's one of the biggest problems in big business right now is employee turnover. I think it's something like 1.2 years is the average amount of time someone works at a company. And if you think about like the training costs and that and the hiring costs, I mean, that's a huge amount of money that companies are losing. So when you imagine a restaurant where it really is a family environment, I mean, my restaurants, I think we have a 30% turnover rate, which is super low for restaurants. And it's because people feel engaged while they're there and they feel like they matter and they feel like they're important to the success of the restaurant. So I think that you can easily translate that into a larger corporation, and that's kind of the fun part, you know?
Yeah, there is something special. I've had some really menial jobs in restaurants along the way, but you do feel a unique sense of shared enterprise mm-hmm. when you have to serve a whole bunch of people who want to have dinner one night or, you know, lunch. Just going through something like that, it's sort of an event unto itself. You have a lot of little decisions that have to get made, and mm-hmm. there's an energy with that. But you are right. Culture is really important. How you manage people, how you treat people, how people interact with each other, all these things are critical. And irrespective of whatever your business might be, there is a high cost to churn.
Yeah.
And so that's all very interesting. So I'm going to ask you a couple pieces of advice. What would you say to someone who's trying to think, you know, might be from a so-called non-traditional career? And I think we've tried to be very clear with prospective students that whole binary notion of traditional, non-traditional is not applicable. But for the purposes of this question, I mean, for somebody who's from, say, not a finance or a consulting background, trying mm-hmm. to think about an MBA, what advice would you have for that person?
I actually think that those people, I mean, obviously I'm talking about myself right now,
sure.
but I think that my background was really valuable to the program. And I think that because I didn't come from a traditional background, I had a different viewpoint from people and was able to, I think, be useful in discussions, but also learn a lot from the traditional kind of people that were in traditional jobs, you know?
That's one of the things we always stress with students is it's not that you just have these people in the room with you who do different things than what you do. You actually get to hear from them. You get to hear their perspectives, their thoughts. And the nice thing about the program is it gets you out of the bubble where you work.
Yes.
Right? You are all of a sudden surrounded by a different set of people. To your point earlier, the people you interact with are people who come from different backgrounds, different industries, different life experiences, not necessarily people you would absolutely gravitate to, and yet you're thrown together in this class, and you're learning together, and everybody's ideas shape each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the case method leverages all of that. And forces you to interact with each other.
Yeah.
So I have these conversations with folks about the case method, and sometimes people are a little intimidated by it. Mm-hmm. This idea that you have to speak up in class, mm-hmm. and this concern about, oh, I'm not that extroverted. How would you encourage a prospective student to think about case method learning?
I actually think it was interesting because in the beginning, the people that kind of were the most outgoing and the most extroverted were always raising their hands, and they always had the floor. But then, after a couple months, things settle down and you start wanting to hear from the people that you've talked to one-on-one and that you know can really offer valuable feedback. And then as the months go on, like, certain people in your class, you know, they're always going to say certain things, and it almost becomes a joke. And, you know, one of the best parts about the program is that first week, if you didn't have that first week where everyone kind of got together, was in the same place, you're forced to like interact with your learning team. You're just forced to be super social. If we didn't have that week, then I think that the rest of the program would be much more difficult. But you're really thrown into the fire. And I think that week simultaneously makes you really excited about the program and makes you think, oh my God, what did I get myself into, you know?
Well, there's always that feeling, I think, because there is an intensity around that week. There's not a lot of easing you in,
no.
You know, and I think that is the way of Darden, mm-hmm. right? You see that with also the residential students when they come. I mean, it's no sort of like soft launch. You're just in the midst of it.
Go.
And but you figure it out, right?
Yeah. But with the case method, you know, some of the cases at first, I remember thinking with my learning team, like, geez, these are so outdated. Like, they're still using rotary dial phones, you know? But then as you start exploring the themes of those cases, I mean, there's a reason why they're still used. And I think that it can really force you to think analytically about what's happening, but also kind of relate it to something that might have happened in your career or in your daily life.
So I'm curious, and I keep saying this is going to be the last question, but I'm curious about the design thinking elective mm-hmm. that you took. We get so many questions about electives, and it's also probably the hardest part of the experience to describe specifically because, mm-hmm. you know, we're having these conversations with candidates oftentimes 2 full years before they'll get to the elective period mm-hmm. in the program. And so tell us about the design thinking elective you took.
Yeah, so I was with a professor named Ed Hess, who I think is maybe a visiting professor, or I'm not sure of his title, but he's written a lot of books on not just creative design thinking, but also kind of this idea of, since we're moving towards artificial intelligence and kind of machines doing human labor, how do humans stay relevant? And it's through kind of introspection and through like being able to manage people. And so he gave us this assignment where we need to think of a scientific experiment to help solve a business problem. And so one of my restaurants had a real revenue problem in the afternoon, and we're the only restaurant open on the third floor, but no one's coming up there, and so it's just kind of dead time. So I got together with a group, and everyone's kind of spitballing ideas at me, and we spent a couple hours sort of thinking of possible solutions to it. And they were like crazy at first, like bring a circus in, you know, or like flamenco dancers or whatever. But I think that was kind of the point, is to get you to think outside the box. And so what we ended up doing is putting together a menu with like special small plates. It's a tapas restaurant. Using that to have the chefs kind of research R&D new dishes and put them on the menu, and then also offer flights of wines that maybe you wouldn't normally get. And we've had a ton of press about it. I'd say our covers have gone up by at least 300 or 400 a week just during that time. And so it's been great. It was very useful.
Wow. That's a lot of impact.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, Charlotte, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's such a pleasure to talk with you. And obviously, we're so proud of you and your whole class for getting to this point and being so close to being done. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that was my conversation with Charlotte Robertson, an M4 Math student in our class of 2018. Of course, if you have comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the Exec MBA podcast, we're all ears. Send us an email at exec, that's exec@darden.virginia.edu. Of course, we plan to keep these podcast episodes rolling into the coming months in the brand new cycle, so we're always eager to hear your suggestions. And as always, until next time, thanks for listening.